Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I am joined today by John Herman, U.S. Rate Strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, November 18th, 2020. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. So we've gotten some good news over the last few days. We've got two COVID vaccines that look pretty effective. At the same time, you've raised some questions and the data of this kind of surge of the second wave of COVID, calls the outlook for economic growth in the near term into question, particularly the first quarter of 2021. Let's begin by tackling the latest update that you put out on your GDP growth forecast, and then let's look a little deeper into these risks.
Okay, sounds good. So there's a lot of material to cover today, so we're going to try to cut things really a little bit on the quick side. So bottom line is GDP still looks very good for the fourth quarter. So, at the present moment, we are, about midway through, a little bit more than midway through the fourth quarter. As you can see from the data coming in for the month of October, and, the payrolls were solid, retail spending, despite being a little bit on the softer side at the headline and so on, it actually fit with our underlying assumptions on consumption spending for the fourth quarter, and our numbers were better than the streets. So everything seems working there. Housing numbers are all very good and so on. The applications data, the building data is all very good. The industrial production numbers are solid and so on. So everything is humming along really pretty good. The other thing I'll also mention is there's some questions about mobility data. The only thing we'll add is that we look at real-time data, daily data on gasoline consumption, jet fuel consumption, TSA ticketing, and pass-throughs of people flying and so on, and real activity. And all of these real activity numbers are doing very, very well. And actually, they're the best and the highest indications and very near the highest since the week of March the 20th. So everything about the fourth quarter still looks very good to us. We're still thinking GDP is around 6%. We've got it currently 5.95%. We were at 6.2. So we trimmed it just a little bit because we're getting nervous about some things and we're kind of building that into December month. But in general, things look good for the year 2020, if you will. So our numbers for the end of the year is down 2.1% year on year. The street is down 3.4. The Fed is down 3.6. So we are significantly better than what the Fed is thinking and so on. Our concern is the first quarter. So the COVID case, because the mobility data is so high, people are traveling and doing this and that and interacting, going to the malls and everything else. They're spreading the COVID like crazy. Even, we had been worried all year long about this wave two in the autumn after school opened, after football season kicked off and everything else. We're really worried about a spike in COVID, and the numbers are spiking even much higher than we were worried about, and frankly, much higher than what the experts were even predicting. So we actually think in the very near term, in the next week or 2 to 3 weeks, we could see COVID cases moving above 225,000 per day for a brief period of time. And we worry actually that the COVID case could be over 300,000, say, like after Christmas or after New Year's, that kind of thing, after Hanukkah. It could be that high. So we're worried about the first quarter because the implications would be extremely high COVID. At some point, we overwhelm the hospitalization systems. And at some point, we have to enact more stringent lockdown measures than we're currently taking. We just introduced a few this week in a handful of states about, cutting back the hours at bars and restaurants to, 9 p.m. close or 10 p.m. close. It's not really that big a deal. But we're just worried that we're going to have to do much more, as we get closer to the end of the year and when we get into January. We're just very, very nervous about that. And that would put a drag on first quarter growth. So that's what we're worried about.
Okay, so it's a little bit counterintuitive to me that you wouldn't see some of that decline in the fourth quarter. But thanks for taking me through that. So sounds like some pretty pretty decent downside risks to Q1 2021 growth. In previous conversations, you've reviewed, I think, three principal factors that could have a material impact on growth. Let's go through them one by one, and then you can touch on them in your answer. So you've talked about this the decline in I believe what you referred to as a statistical momentum or statistical handoff, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter. You know, talk us through that in the first quarter. You know, wave two of these COVID cases, you know, mobility data, you touched on that a little bit, but maybe you could flesh that out a little bit more. And then finally, the makeup of the or politics, you know, the we know who the president's going to be. The Senate is a little bit in the air, but talk about that, you know, and its interaction with, you know, with what, if any, or how big fiscal stimulus that we end up getting.
So again, a lot of material to cover. So we're going to just try to do things as quickly as possible. So the bottom line is this, again, even with, for example, this, the relatively moderate retail sales gain that we saw in the month of October, because the trajectory coming out of the third quarter was so strong for consumer spending, business spending, housing, inventories, all these kinds of things, because the trajectory was just so strong, the momentum implied by that trajectory actually gets us to 6% GDP growth in the fourth quarter. However, as we're mentioning, the momentum as we end the year 2020 in terms of consumer spending and in terms of potentially business spending, we see the trajectory much more moderate. So the underlying momentum as you come into the first quarter is nowhere near as good as what we just came from in the third quarter into the fourth quarter. So if you do get just sort of a flattish patch of consumption or slightly negative on consumption, then you could actually have GDP printing less than 1% growth in the first quarter. Could even be 0%. Could, you know, depending on COVID, et cetera, and lockdowns, it could be negative. That's the risk. And if you start, I actually ran some numbers today, if you start at just say just 1% GDP growth in the first quarter, then actually for the full year, our full year numbers in terms of GDP came down almost 100 basis points just by starting so soft in the first quarter and having, you know, the effects kind of quickly resolve themselves in the second, third, and fourth quarter of this coming year. So it trimmed our whole GDP numbers from, you know, 5.2% or so on an average annual basis down to only, you know, 4.3%. So it almost took 100 basis points out just by having such a weak start to the first quarter. So that's first concern. Second concern is, you know, as you're mentioning, and on our models, we look at the actual real activity of people, and the real activity in terms of things like traveling, mall traffic indicators, consumption, gasoline consumption, jet fuel consumption by the airlines, the commercial airlines. They're not flying empty planes. You look at the TSA data is fantastic. You know, it's not back to where we were pre-pandemic, obviously, but it's basically at the best of the year. And we're coming up to an extremely busy, you know, Thanksgiving season, holiday traveling season. So we're expecting the TSA numbers to be really pretty good over the next 2 weeks or so. And then towards the end of the year. So we'll see if that's borne out, but I think it's going to be, but that just makes, you know, the more we travel, the more mobile we are, the more we're spreading the COVID. And the COVID looks like, again, it looks like we're 200,000, you know, and we could potentially average that for a full week within the next 2 to 3 weeks, which is, you know, it's just a mind-boggling number. And in our models, when we stress test the states, all 50 states, when we stress test them, we came out with a scenario where it's non-zero probability that you could actually have over 300,000 cases by like mid-January or so. So we're really worried about the COVID, and unsettlingly so. And I'm sure the Fed people are worried as well. Neil Kashkari is doing some work on that with a very good epidemiologist up there in University of Minnesota. We've talked about him before, Mike Osterholm. Very, very good epidemiologist, very insightful person. And so the Fed has to be worried about the COVID too for the first quarter. And this may start impacting their language and guidance, you know, as we get closer to the December meeting coming up and then the January, late January, early February meeting next year. So you could see, you know, more dovish signals coming out. But the one thing we'll say is this in terms of the politics. So yeah, we know, you know, it's not, it's 99%, you know, that Joe Biden is our next president. There's a small, tiny chance something could come crazy, but, you know, and let's say 99.9% chance. But in any case, the Senate is a little bit of a toss up at this point. It could be 51-49 for the Republicans or 50-50, which would be, you know, a Democratic leaning with Kamala Harris. This is a deciding vote, Vice President Kamala Harris. So it looks that way. Close to, you know, which one, we're not quite sure. But the way I think experts are pitching it is that, therefore, if it is a Republican 51-49 majority, then don't expect anything from the government. The only thing we would say is, okay, we agree with that. But we also think in times of absolute crises, like, for example, COVID going way past what most people would think, not necessarily Professor Osterholm, but what most people would think is if we do hit that sort of Osterholm risk scenario that we're talking about, in excess of 225,000 cases a day for, you know, a couple of weeks, if we're in that scenario, then they could push, you know, the Republicans and Democrats who, you know, are not going to be predisposed to work together, it could push them to actually work together and come up with a stimulus package. So it's kind of a weird roundabout way of getting more stimulus because the COVID gets so bad. And the way the COVID's getting bad is the mobility data, the actual stuff people are actually doing is really pretty good. Up until, it's again, we look at daily numbers, and the daily number for this morning is, you know, for yesterday at midnight was really pretty good. And we think the numbers are going to get even better as you go through the Thanksgiving weekend and into early December and then through the, you know, the December holidays into New Year's. So we think they're, as crazy as that sounds, and that in turn being so much actual activity, in turn that really keeps GDP pretty good in the fourth quarter, but it makes us vulnerable to more stringent type lockdowns in the first quarter. And that's what we worry about. And that gets us off to a soft start for the year 2021. But it just may trigger the Republicans and Democrats to work closer together to deliver something, to get something out to help the economy. So it's a kind of a very ironic way to get to a better outcome, but those are the scenarios that we see coming up, unfortunately. It's a strange mix.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of path dependency to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put this all together. So you talked about the FOMC briefly, but what does this updated outlook, risks to the outlook, mean for them? And also, what does it mean to the investment thesis? You were early on the 2s, 30s, you know, treasury yield curve steepener. How are you feeling about it today?
Okay, so we got in at the 230 steepener at a really at like the best level of the year, like 108 basis points, and then we reiterated that in like in August. So we got in very, very good levels. The curve at one point steepened out to about 155, 156 basis points. Very, very good move in just a couple of months' time. We've now retraced as people have gotten nervous over the COVID and so on. We've retraced that a bit, but there is some optimism because of the you know, there's a few reasons to be a little bit optimistic past the first quarter, and that would be you get the vaccines in the second quarter. That's excellent. Thumbs up for that. We do have a very high level of consumer savings in the economy. That's a plus for the balance of the year next year. And if we do get the COVID spike that we're worried about, and we do get some more severe type lockdown measures, then it may prompt the Senate and the House to work more closely together to stimulate the economy after, you know, a couple of, you know, maybe a month or 2 months of softness in the first quarter. So those are the things that would help us. For the Fed has to say, okay, we still don't know a bunch of things. And so they have to be predisposed to doing more, you know, just to make sure that we get over the hump, you know, the first 6 months of 2021, that we get over the hump of all this uncertainty and this timing issues, as you're saying, path dependent issues. We have to, you know, you have to have a much greater degree of certainty that you're going to get over those humps, and that the, you know, the economy will still continue to find its footing, land on its feet, and continue to accelerate and improve. So what the Fed is going to do, how they signal it, you know, some of their lending facilities haven't really worked that well. The QE obviously does a good job. The one thing that Bernanke found that he had to do in 2011, 2012, and so on, was he had to do that Operation Twist, where he had to buy the back end of the yield curve, and you know, in order to keep the rates low, to give the economy a little extra boost, because forward guidance had pinned the front end rates so much. So that's not too dissimilar from current situations. So you could, you know, if the Fed is pushed, it's not, you know, it's not our base case at this point. We're still thinking through this, but you could have the Fed saying, you know, we've seen enough risk. You know, we've kind of had it. What we want to do is we want to just make sure that we do our part. And the way you would do it is you would, you know, up the ante in terms of the QE, extend and expand that program. And you would probably try to Operation Twist the back of the yield curve by trying to, you know, flatten against, you know, the optimism that's kind of made the curve steeper. And again, the optimism over, you know, over the intermediate term, things are going to be much better in the economy, get all the vaccines, we steepen the curve and so on, equity prices move up, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously the back end yields follow that kind of move. And so the Fed would say, okay, we want to counteract some of that, bring the back end yields down, or at least cap them, if you will, a little bit through an Operation Twist type program, and just to help make sure that we absolutely, you know, get through this this spell of potential volatility over the first, you know, the next 6 months or so. And you know, for that, what that would mean then is that the curve would be, 230's curve would be, you know, obviously less steep than otherwise. And so for people who have been in the steepener with us, they may want to think about taking some of the chips off the table, if you will. Not all of them, for sure, because it's not a complete, you know, it's not a for sure that the Fed will do all these things, especially if the Georgia runoffs work in the favor of the Democrats and they pick up two seats, let's say, then, you know, you might just be able to get enough, you might be able to get enough stimulus from that type of Congress makeup that you may not need like an extreme measure from the Fed. So we'll have to see on how all these things develop. But, you know, the Fed really, these folks really have their feet on the ground. I mean, I would say this, and they, despite all the criticism over the years about things, they really approach things apolitically down there inside the Fed. And they just really, their goal is just to produce as robust and as strong an economy as possible. And they're willing to do measures that are non-conventional to achieve those objectives. And so we're totally in their camp on this one. And we've been that way for the last 6-7 months or so. And we just wish them a lot of luck. But that's the thing for us. We worry about the first quarter. Okay, maybe that triggers a fiscal policy response. We hope it would. In the absence of that, the Fed would feel compelled to do a lot more. And, you know, and one way that they could do it beyond forward guidance on the front end and so on is to really try to do like a Bernanke style Operation Twist on the back end. And so, you know, with that risk, it may be a little bit prudent for those of us who've been in the steepener for a while to take just, you know, a few chips off the table. I'm not saying don't liquidate the position or whatever. And also, the other thing is, again, since our intermediate outlook is really quite good, if we do get a big reflattening, it would be a great opportunity to add to the steepener stance, in our view. So we're going to see how it all plays out. I know there's a ton of things to be thinking about. But the base case is really fourth quarter looks really pretty solid. We're worried about the first quarter. Will we get the fiscal stimulus? Yes or no? In response to the COVID, does look disturbingly high and possibly much higher. Again, the actual mobility data in terms of people driving, going into businesses, going to the stores, going to restaurants, do this, you know, taking flights, going to the airport. I mean, the actual data is the best since March, the week of March the 20th of this year. It's the best for all these indicators. And with the upcoming holidays, is it going to be, I think it's going to be even higher. So we'll see. Again, we're watching this daily data. We'll see it unfold in front of us, and we'll obviously keep our clients well informed as best we can.
Great. All right. Well, plenty for us to think about. I'm sure we'll report back in future podcasts in the near future. So thanks again, John.
Thank you, John. Take care now.
You too, bud.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.